And in fact, back in the early 90s, after we were lost Challenger and we were building the new orbiter, the program actually was as high as 32,000 civil servants and contractors. Obviously, mostly those are contractors. And then in 2006, we were at about 16,000 contractors and civil servants.
And at this point, that's come down to roughly what?
About 6,300. We've had about a little over 5,000 prime contractors, and we have a little over 1,000 civil servants working on this space shuttle program.
And I would assume those are concentrated in Florida, Alabama, Texas?
Correct, correct.
And what are those people doing at this point? Are they? I assume they're running the current Atlantis mission in part, but are they already involved in sort of winding the shuttle program down?
Yes, to both of those. For example, before the mission, they've been doing ground processing, getting the orbiter, the boosters and the tank ready to go fly, and then still doing training. For example, the astronauts, they trained right up until the end. All the procedures and processes you have to do to get ready for flight, folks are still working on the mission itself. Concurrently, we have people getting ready for retirement, so that we've been working the retirement piece for a while, and so they're looking at, you know, what do you do with the hardware, what do we need to keep, what needs to go to particular museums or educational institutions, you know, what are we going to do with the artifacts and the pieces of the shuttle program as we move forward.
So two-part question there. One is, how long do you all expect the sort of wind down of the shuttle program to take, and how many people are you going to need to do that? How many of these 6,000 is it going to take to actually get us to the end where we can say the shuttle program is officially done?
Well, it's kind of a two-part answer for you in that there's short-term ground processing, so the orbiter comes back and it has things that need to be done to it. You know, parts of it have some hazardous materials, and so they call that down mission processing, and that's about 30 to 60 days. So that's a relatively shorter piece of it. The longer-term piece of getting the orbiters ready to go to the various museums, deciding what you're going to do with the shuttle trainers, for example, or different pumps and main engines and things that you're going to put on display, that'll probably take about 2 years to do. And as far as the numbers, right now we're looking at roughly 1,000, a little under 1,000 prime contractors in FY12. And these are kind of, you know, averages over a year, if
sure.
you will. And then that it would reduce to a little over 400 contractors in FY13. The civil servant jobs are not at risk. In fact, we're prohibited expressly from having a reduction in force within NASA by law, so there won't be any sort of reduction in force that would happen within the agency.
So talk, if you would, about some of the things NASA and some of the local partners in the areas where you work are doing to help all of these contract employees transition to whatever their future is going to be.
Each area is doing a little bit different, so I'm going to give you a kind of a mix of centers and contractors and,
sure.
you know, areas. Some of the contractors that build things, like they build the external tank, they build the main engines, or they build the boosters, you know, you have to build those pretty far in advance to putting it all together to go fly. So they've already gone through the majority of their reductions. For example, Louisiana has already gone through their layoffs. That's where they built the external tank. Utah's done all of their layoffs, and they build the solid rocket motors. And what they've done is they've typically had some sort of transition center that's come from the state or from the local workforce board, and then they've done job fairs, that kind of thing, to help people. And so it's the traditional resume writing, getting them hooked up with how do you use LinkedIn, how do you use the new systems, that kind of thing. Florida and Texas and Alabama now are the ones kind of hitting that, because our folks are not the ones going to be laid off, have been laid off recently and will be laid off shortly. For example, in Florida, the Office of Personnel Management is having a job fair with the Brevard County workforce. They're going to have it concurrently. So one side of the facility will be federal agencies, and the other side will be private sector employers. And so it'll be kind of a chance for the laid off workforce to hit both sides at once, which will be a great partnership. Texas, we've had a big job fair where we had over 1,200 job seekers and 80 employers. So those are the kinds of things we're doing. We're doing virtual job fairs. We're doing all the training, you know, financial management. How do you manage all that? How do you apply for unemployment? How do you do the resume writing? That kind of thing. So each community is doing a variety of those activities. And then in addition, everybody's looking at you retrain people, for example. That's another piece of that. But how do you help build the jobs? And so on the economic development side, looking at how do the communities bring additional jobs in? And so each community is tackling that differently, either around regional innovation clusters. So how do you build the job organizations you already have? And then how do you attract new ones in? So those are some of the different kinds of activities that are going on.
And in some of the areas where the layoffs tend to be concentrated, is there any sense yet how many of these jobs might be able to just transition into, for lack of a better word, the private space industry? Are any of these people or many of these people going to be able to continue working in the fields roughly that they've been working in?
The answer is yes, whether that's commercial crew or commercial cargo coming down the line, but none of us have a good sense of what those numbers are or the timing of those.
Because the industry itself is not particularly well developed yet, right?
Right. There's a gap for us. We know that there will be jobs in that industry, but as one is winding down, the new one is starting up, but they don't quite overlap as tightly as we'd like. I think the numbers will be at a lower level than they have been in the past, but there will be jobs there and there will be opportunities there.
As it became clear that the shuttle program was going to come to a close, was there sort of a bolt for the door as people tried to find other things, or did employees and contractors tend to stick around until the end if they could?
They stuck around. It's been very inspiring, the commitment of the workforce. Folks really like the shuttle program. There's a real strong sense of community, a strong sense of family, and so people really wanted to stay till the end of the program. The companies did do monetary incentives to help people stay, so they did some retention bonuses or incentive pay to help do that. Frankly, the economy probably helped us a little bit in all that. So all those things came together, but I don't think we can ever underestimate the dedication of the workforce and the commitment to the program. People really wanted to stay till the end of the program.
And we really have to point out, everyone knows this, but there has been what kind of seems like some overheated rhetoric in media and among politicians lately that would seem to indicate that NASA's closing its doors and, completely shutting down because of the end of this iconic program. That's certainly not the case, right? NASA's going to be around for a long time just doing other things, right?
Correct. We're going from a couple of three big programs to managing that process a little bit different and trying to pull in the commercial partners in addition to the international partners. So it's just a different format in the way that we're going to go do exploration, but we are certainly not shutting our doors. But it is an impact because there's a gap between the old way of doing business, if you will, and the new way of doing business.
And would it be fair to say the new NASA is going to be a little bit more geographically diverse, spread out in different locations instead of clustered in these huge major job centers in, as we were saying, Florida, Texas, Alabama?
Yes, I think that's true. There's certain things, of course, probably people are going to likely to launch from Florida, though that's not necessarily that's the only place to launch from. So there's certain things that may tend to happen around those centers. But yes, I think your question's a good one. I think we will see a more geographically dispersed workforce. And then, of course, the technology supports that because you don't have to be face-to-face to do your work anymore, too.